Apart from those images of the suffering and the death and the resurrection of Jesus, and those images of the Annunciation and the birth and the infancy of Jesus, there is no story in the entire New Testament that has so gripped the imagination of artists, painters, poets, musicians, literateurs, as has this story of the prodigal son. It is found only in St. Luke's Gospel, and it is a profound story about the graciousness and the mercy of God. The Church puts it before us today as we come to the halfway point of the season of Lent, to ask us to reflect on a distinction, the distinction between justice and fairness, and also to reflect on the gratuitous love of God. Scientists tell us that every single second, matter that weighs in excess of 24 million ton, 24 million ton, is eaten up in the sun giving forth light. Every single second, day after day, year after year, century after century, for a period of time that has probably spanned almost, or maybe even more, than 100 million years. And eventually the sun will give out. Eventually there will be no more matter to convert into light. But it is only because of the light of the sun that life is possible in our solar system. And yet the sun is forever giving itself away. The sun is forever wasting itself so that you and I might live. Pope John the 23rd saw in the sun an image of God. He said, "I love the sun. It is the source of life. And even though at times it may hide its face for a while, it always returns with radiant glory." Well, the story that is found in today's gospel, the story of the prodigal son, is the story of the lavish giving of God to creatures. That's really the message. Jesus has been seen with tax collectors and outcasts. Jesus has been associated with the blind, the lame, the deaf. Jesus has been found with the leper and the widow and the orphan. Jesus has been found with people who were on the margin, people who had no standing, people who had no power, people who had no ability to make any difference in life, people who were excluded. And that's where Jesus found himself. And that's where the grumbling started. Look at that man. How can he be a religious leader? How can he be a prophet if he welcomes tax collectors and sinners and he even sits down at the table and eats with them? That's the dilemma. And what Jesus is trying to say by his action is that the love of God is indiscriminate. The love of God flows out to all. The love of God is bestowed not because someone is worthy of it, The love of God is just God's way of being. God can't help it. God is love. Now, what the elder son wanted was for the father to be fair. And really, the father wasn't fair. I mean, the younger son had not invested very much in either the family or the business. He was interested only in his own welfare. He took a huge chunk of the family wealth. He went off and he indiscriminately spent it. Then he found himself on hard times, and he had the gall to assume that he could come back, maybe not as the son, but at least come back and find a life more comfortable than he was experiencing in his father's house. And what the father does is his love and his mercy overflows and covers this younger son. The older son says, "Where's the fairness in that? I work for you every single day, year in and year out. If it weren't for my back-breaking effort, this place wouldn't produce. Everything you have ever asked of me, I've done. And you've never seen fit to even offer me a goat to feast with my friends. This isn't fair." And he's absolutely right. It isn't fair. It's not fair at all. The love of God is not fair. Fairness has to do with the equity that equals owe each other. Fairness has to do with human interaction, equity. What God is about is God is about a parent's love. The father in the story doesn't love the elder son any less than he loves the younger son. But the younger son at this point is the object of the total concern of the father, because the younger son is in trouble. He thought he had lost this son. And everything goes out from him toward that son. It's not an issue of, I've got 22 pounds of love and now I'm going to not divide it 11 and 11, I'm going to divide it 20 and 2. That's not the issue. The issue is the unlimited love of God. But a love that is directed preferentially toward those who suffer. That's what Jesus was trying to teach by this story. And that's what Paul tells us in the second reading is the vocation of believers. That in the mercy of God, all have been reconciled. And the reconciliation of God knows no limit. Jesus is the human face of that reconciling love, that limitless love. And the disciples of Jesus are called to be that human face. And that means that in the love of God, rules get bent, standards get shaved, expectations get trimmed, that none of that stands in the way of the compassionate love of God. And every time you and I gather at the table of the Lord, That's what we celebrate. We celebrate that merciful, gracious love of God that knows no bounds. And we celebrate the truth that God loves me not because of something I do or don't do, not because I'm saint or sinner, not because I'm right or wrong, not because I'm good or bad. None of that makes any difference to God. God loves me because God can't do anything else. That's what it is to be God. And somehow that message has to be given, that revelation has to be spoken. That's the message of Jesus. That's his purpose. And that must be the life of the disciple of Jesus, who in our own day, in our own time, must find words and deeds that say to a world, this is who God is. Because this is what it is to be God.